Not that cricket. Welcome to the Sikandar series on the Clubhouse End podcast, a podcast that gets you closer to the cricket game in Zimbabwe. And this special five-part series dives deep into the life and career of one of Zimbabwe's celebrated cricketers, Sikandar Raza, the T20 captain. Across five episodes, we'll uncover his journey, values, and his thoughts on the future of Zimbabwean cricket. Now, just to give you a rundown on what these episodes will be, in part one, we'll begin by exploring Sikandar's passion and commitment to playing for Zimbabwe, delving into what it means to represent the nation on the cricket field. And part two, we tackle the hot topic of selecting national team players, specifically addressing the National Premier League question: what did you take to get into the national team? Part three shifts focus to Sikandar's perspective on taking responsibility in matches. Here, this is a difficult episode, which gets a bit emotional at some point. In part four, we turn attention to his test cricket future in Zimbabwe. And finally, in part five, we can conclude with Sikandar's reflections on Zimbabwe's playing style going forward, as well as his plans beyond cricket. This episode gives us a glimpse into his vision for the future, both for himself and Zimbabwean cricket. But for now, we start with part one.
You're listening to the Sikandar series on the Clubhouse End podcast.
So it's a warm welcome to the Clubhouse End podcast. The name is Lada Kwira, and I call it a world-exclusive interview with the captain of Zimbabwe cricket's T20 team and Sikandar Raza. How are you doing, bro?
Yeah, good, thanks, Larry. It's nice to be home among the family. The weather's been good in Zimbabwe as well, so yeah, I'm enjoying a good rest. We've been on a rest for the past 3-4 days. We've got our training schedule coming from our trainer, which we are starting from Saturday.
And I mean, looking at it, we've always just seen Raza for so long traveling somewhere or the other. Just this extended period being at home, what has it done for you?
Yes, there was a time when I just thought, you know what, I'm going to stop signing a few contracts and just try and be home, because family was missing me, and I was missing them back as well. And I was actually genuinely missing Zimbabwe. I just wanted to be home. So luckily and alhamdulillah, the fixtures have formed in a way where we have a lot of home tours. And hence, that's why I have not put my name forward for Abu Dhabi T10, because there was a Pakistan clash, tour clash, and then with Sri Lanka T10, I haven't put my name forward because there is a clash with Afghanistan tour. So yeah, in a way, what I wanted to achieve, alhamdulillah, Allah has looked after itself. I'm home. A lot of our fixtures are home, so I'll be home for some time now.
A lot of people don't realize your love for Zimbabwe, because a lot of them people, I say, with this guy, have you seen the passion? It just sort of feels like you would do extensive things for Zimbabwe, not as a country, not just as the fans.
Larry, that's something that I don't think so I can put in words. If people cannot tell the way I play for my country, the way I represent them on and off the park, how passionate I am to make sure my youngsters get opportunities in other franchises. Every time I've been asked for a player, I've made sure that I always mention the Zimbabwean name first. And because I know these guys, when they go abroad, they will learn valuable lessons. The financial help can go a long way as well. They will bring that experience from playing in those leagues back home, share them with the other friends, use that knowledge in the national team, which would only make Zimbabwe get better and win more games. So, yeah, let people figure it out. I mean, what more can I say about Zimbabwe?
And you always get very excited when the fans are singing your name or singing the country's name, and you make an effort to go out there after the match to go and applaud the fans, almost thank them one by one if you could.
Yeah, listen, there will always be a time when you cannot applaud them one by one, but I try and make sure the time that I have, because after the game you also got to remember there's a press conference, there's a post-match presentation, there's a team meeting in the changing room, there's a debrief. So then you got to come home as well. So I try and do as much as I can. And unfortunately, if I miss out somebody, then I apologize, but that's always the case. But I personally do try and make sure that I thank as many people as I can.
And, you know, before going to the nitty-gritties of the cricket side specifically, for you, what has playing for Zimbabwe done for you and the opportunities Zimbabwe cricket has given you?
Larry, I think we can write a whole book about that. Larry, if I have to sum it up, I think deep down the line, if I ever write a chapter or a book or anything, I think if I have to, my summary of that book would be my journey might have started as an immigrant, but it certainly will finish as a Zimbabwean.
Yeah. So now let's talk about, first of all, the most recent news, went to the qualifier. First of all, everybody say, look, we should not be at that level. And quite rightly, as a full member and that sort of thing. But there was a lot of statement performances, not least yours being the first Zimbabwean to take a fifer in T20, and then also first Zimbabwean to get a century. And then the world record. Why was it important for Zimbabwe to make that statement?
I think you can talk about it that Zimbabwe shouldn't be there, and even in the press conference in Kenya, I said that, rightly so, but the fact that we are here, and we are the ones who are going to get ourselves up and out of this, if you want to call that mess. So we have to make sure that we make statements where not just our words are being noticed, but our performances being noticed, and then our fans, when they say we shouldn't be there, then the mother body, the higher authorities do look at it and says, you know what, they're right. So we wanted to go out there, first of all, remain unbeaten. I mean, I remember playing against Kenya, and in the hurdle, my only thing that I said was, we did not come here to qualify. We came here to win the tournament. For me, there's only one team that's going to go to the next round, not just two. So I won a very clinical performance, and credit to the team, it was a very clinical performance. So 164 on that wicket, for me, I thought 140 would be a very good total, because we played on that wicket and we knew that how tough the wicket was and how tough it's going to keep getting. So 164 was way above par, and then our bowling performance to roll those guys for 102 and win the game by 62 runs, that's a big margin. So I thought we were very, very, very clinical in all the games. So yeah, I was quite happy about that.
So, I mean, from a perspective, look, like we said, Zimbabwe should be there, but how much did it hurt the players that you had to play that particular qualifier?
I wouldn't say it hurt it from a standard point of view that Zimbabwe cannot be here, so all of us were hurted, but at the same time, we are the reason why we are where we are, so we should be the reason to take our country forward and to put it into a place where we deserve to be. So at the same time, while we were hurt, but we knew what we needed to do. So we set those emotions aside and we knew what the job in hand is, and we just focused on that and got the job done, alhamdulillah. And now we've got Pakistan, Afghanistan, Ireland, and another qualifier to look forward to. So we've got a very busy summer, and that's where we're going to channel all our energies to now.
There were, of course, some murmurs with some people saying, look, Zimbabwe is getting closer to the associates, even among the Zimbabwe fans, who felt that perhaps you could get another bloody nose like what a Uganda did and stuff like that. That sort of doubt, did it ever creep into some of the players? I know for you, you have a certain standard that you set for yourself, but that sort of doubt that, you know, even though you look at Scotland, you look at whatever the case may be, there's always that, associate side that seems to come and upset Zimbabwe more than other countries.
Yeah, there wasn't any doubt. And I think from myself and from Justin's point of view, our job was to create a vision and then drive our blueprint on that vision so that it puts everybody at ease. And when everybody followed that blueprint that we have set to go forward, after the first game, if there was any, you know, negative energy, if there was any anxiety, I think after the first game we were very comfortable and relaxed, and all we were focusing on was just to get the job done and how we're going to get it done. And we found a way, we found a method. The weather played a role, of course, there, so we had to change few plans and things like that. But apart from that, we were very clear about how we want to go about our business and how to get the job done and how to move forward with the same blueprint. Because your blueprint cannot change once you're playing a lower ranked team to a higher ranked team. apart from that, Neri, I don't pay too much attention to social media. I know some of the teammates do. So some of these comments from the fans can actually hurt and damage our mental state for some of those players. But I guess fans are just fans. They'll always be good ones, good messages, positive messages, and along that, some confusing and some negative comments as well. So I think as players, we just have to be in a position where nothing from outside should faze us, and we will get mentally stronger and tougher, and so that a lot of these things don't really affect us.
You come from a time and a period, and you know, especially the older players, for whom we have developed a thick skin. But you're overseeing quite a young crop of players who might take things a lot more personally. And of course, like you said, mental health issues that come into there. Have there been instances, of course, without naming any players, unless you want to, where some players have been particularly affected by comments, negative comments from fans, from even quarters that are not necessarily fans? And what has been done if there's been such a case?
So nobody opens up, you know. What I've noticed that a lot of these guys, especially the younger ones, when they see that, they just take it all in and do not share. Because I've been with them for a long time, so some of my teammates, I could just look at their body language and their emotions, and I know something has been said behind the scene that's bothering them. So I will just go take them on one-on-one, get them on a coffee and say, come, let's chat. Something is bothering, and try my best for them to open up to me. And when they do, I share my experience, how I go on about things. Hopefully my experience will help you, or what you can do. But yeah, without mentioning another name, there's a couple guys actually who have actually deleted their social medias because it was getting too much for them, young guys. One guy, and again, not going to name, he take those comments sometimes very hard and seriously, and it affects him. But the good thing is we have a very good changing room environment going on. We have a very good culture in the changing room now. So I guess when those guys come to the changing room, they forget everything what's been said and done, and slowly and surely they come around and start to go about their business. Yeah, but it affects.
I know that, you know, in the United Kingdom, for example, there's a lot more work, especially in football and sort of thing, for less abuse of sports stars. Do you think more can be done in terms of protecting the players, or do you think it's just a freedom of speech issue?
I don't know what you can do, but the good thing about our fans are they don't really abuse you. Most of the abuse come from overseas. I don't know for some reason why. Mm. So they don't. Our Zimbabwean fans, they don't abuse us. They just say some negative and harsh comments here and there. But far from that, yeah, you can always say that more should be done, but you also got to remember where we are, what is happening around, how far we have to go. So if I look at all of that, I just think it will help us to get stronger, mentally stronger.
You're listening to the Sikandar series on the Clubhouse End podcast.
And there you have it from the horse's mouth, Sikandar Raza talking about his passion for playing for Zimbabwe. In part two, which comes out Friday, we tackle the hot topic of selecting the national team players, especially addressing the National Premier League question. And what it should take to get into the national team? Yes, this will be the second of five exclusive episodes in the Sikandar series. And if you're a fan of insightful cricket discussions, then you don't want to miss a single episode of this series. Subscribing is the best way to get to stay updated so that you never miss an episode. They'll come straight to you as soon as they're out. Of course, we're available on your favorite platforms from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, AfriPods, Iono, and you know, whatever, Audible, wherever you listen to your podcast, we're there. Wherever you listen, we are there. My name is Larry Kwidarai. To get in touch with me, +263 719 903 327. That is a 3mob.com WhatsApp number. There will be somebody who responds to you. Please get in touch. If you've got any feedback on this particular series, or would like to add any comments in as far as this series is concerned. And also, this is a 3mob radio production for three men on a boat. My name is Larry Kwidarai. As I say, from where I come from, Asibi Siyasebenza. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.